How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every Saturday and Sunday. Saturdays, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794. XM Radio Channel 208. And streaming live worldwide on the internet. WrestlingObserver.com, SportsByline.com. The American Forces Network, the cable radio network, the list goes on and on. Sometimes there's so many things I can't even remember the order of everything, but there's nowhere in the world that you cannot hear Wrestling Observer Live every single weekend, and today is no exception. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Probably the top story is the NXT special from this past Thursday night. I haven't even had a chance to talk about this special yet. This past Thursday, I sat down all excited to watch the NXT special, and what should happen, but we had a giant storm and my power went out. I had to wait until Friday morning to watch the show, and what a show it was. An excellent, excellent show. Main event was great. Sami Zayn, your new NXT champion, one of the best shows of the year, one of the best matches of the year. And if you've been watching Raw, and you've been ranting and raving about this 3 hours, how boring it is. Raw is driving you crazy. You're one of the 300,000 people that tune out during the main event every single week. Well, you got an alternative on the WWE Network, and that is the NXT show. We're going to talk about that here on the program. Plus, in about a half an hour, we are going to be joined on this program by Nigel McGuinness of Ring of Honor. He has got a new project that he is looking to fund. All of this is going to kick off on Monday, but you're going to get a preview on the show today, Saturday, here on Wrestling Observer Live. He's going to tell you everything there is to know about it. And as noted, after this commercial break, we're going to start taking your phone calls at 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. What is on your mind? We'll talk about whatever you want here on the program. Joined by Mike Sempervivi. It's going to be a lot of fun. Back in a moment. Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. These phones are going crazy today. We're going to take a couple of calls here. We'll talk about NXT. We got Nigel McGuinness coming up in about a half hour. And Mike, how you doing this pleasant Saturday morning?
I won't complain at all. I think I went a full 24 hours without any CM Punk news breaking or him talking to somebody or anything like that. So we may be turning the corner.
He may be on the line right now for all I know. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian. It's Nate from Tulsa.
Nate, what's going on?
Not much. Real quick, just want to get this out. If you guys are listening to the show and you are not signed up at Wrestling Observer, do yourself a favor. Go ahead and do it. I've been a member since 2007. Best money I spend every month.
I like this guy. I didn't pay him either. Well, thank you very much. What's on your mind today?
Well real quick, Brian, and Mike, also your input too. Coming out of NXT, who do you think came out as the big star of that show?
Either Finn Balor or Sami Zayn, I would say. Mike, what do you think?
I'd say Kevin Steen. You know, Kevin Steen and Sami Zayn, obviously, too, has been great for a while. But I think, you know, coming out of it, Kevin Steen, the way that whole thing ended, and obviously Finn Balor, too, with the New Japan style of entrance that he used over there. That looks like it's going to be part of his thing now. They've already got a T-shirt made up with his look with the paint and everything. So hard to not say them. Obviously, Charlotte and Sami Zayn, they certainly held up their end of the deal again.
Outside of like a WrestleMania where they got the pageantry and everything like that, Finn Balor had to have had like one of the top five entrances in the history of this company outside of WrestleMania. This entrance was so awesome. I mean, he came off as such a star, and it's so amazing when you mention Kevin Owens. I love NXT, not just because the wrestling is great and the booking is simple, and above all else, it's only an hour, but I love the fact that guys debut and they're immediately in the main event, as opposed to in WWE where virtually everybody debuts and does a job, and they're immediately put into the mid-card, they're lost in the shuffle, and then God only knows what happens to them a week later. NXT is to me exactly what pro wrestling should be in 2014. It's the way pro wrestling has been for decades, and it has always worked. And it's so refreshing to watch it after Raw on Monday night.
Yeah, and this may be a long way off, and it may never happen. But because Triple H brought it up at the conference call that took place Thursday morning before the show, talking about expanding out and running more of the Southeast, and hey, I want all of these guys to get their chance to be in on the main roster and get a chance to main event WrestleMania. That's not going to happen, though, and it's very selfish for me to say this, but hey, if NXT can be basically a standalone thing where, you know, Adrian Neville, how is he going to be treated when he's up on the main roster? Sami Zayn, everybody that's there right now, Dave and I talked about this a little bit last night. You know, there's no guy where you look at it and go, right now, that guy can main event WrestleMania. You know, we would all have our hopes in a Sami Zayn and something like that, but there's no, you know, Stone Cold Lock there. But with all those guys wrestling together, as you talked about, given time to have their matches and to basically be an old pro wrestling program, it's great. It's great. And I hope the thing continues to grow. And I'm not saying that, you know, again, I don't want to see these guys on the main roster, but like a Tyson Kidd or a Natalya or somebody like that, they're almost better off in NXT, and I hope NXT can continue to grow where maybe we can break it up into whatever the new training center, you know, name would be, an NXT, which can be a small little touring product and something else to get ready that remains basically untouched outside of tweaking gimmicks to see if guys can make it up to the main roster with them, and then have the main roster of guys, because I don't know how Adrian Neville and Sami Zayn are going to be treated when they get up on the main roster, or Kevin Owens or anybody else for that matter, but I know how they're treated in NXT, and it's very refreshing and enjoyable.
Go ahead, Nate.
And to that point, Mike, I listened to your show with Dave the other day. When I hear Dave say things like, you know, it's easy to book wrestling like this, and Vince is kind of looking at the broader scale and looking to bring in, you know, the casual fans and all that, I don't see how you're bringing in the casual fans or even making money based on how you booked, for example, Eric Rowan, who was interviewed with Big Show, and then you kind of go backwards and you have him feud with Luke Harper for a one-off, a couple minutes on Raw, and then now he's supposed to be at the pay-per-view again with Big Show. It's stuff like this is getting me to the point, and I don't want to sound like the, you know, negative Nancy on wrestling, or at least on Raw, but it's getting me to the point now where I can just not watch Raw, watch NXT Weekly, and then watch the pay-per-views and be completely happy.
Hey, first off, I want to thank you very much for the call. I've had people call in. I mentioned that. I said that to Dave one day. I said, listen, there are people that are watching the network and they're watching the pay-per-views and they're not watching Raw. And he was skeptical of this. And as soon as we talked about this on the show, I got emails, I got people tweeting. And granted, these are hardcore fans who are subscribers to our website. This is not representative of the overall casual fan base. But believe me, among our readership, there are plenty of people who aren't watching Raw. I wrote an article for Figure Four Weekly this week. If you want to check it out and you're a subscriber at WrestlingObserver.com, you can go read it right now. And yes, I am late to the party, but it is an article about how Raw is too long. And above all of the other issues, the show is boring at that length. There's a lot of filler. A very important aspect of this is if I want to get my buddy into wrestling, there are a lot of great television shows on TV. And my wife, I'll give you an example. She loves Modern Family. She's always like, Brian, you got to watch Modern Family with me. You should watch Modern Family. Let's go watch Modern Family together. And if I wanted to, I could go watch Modern Family, devote 40 minutes or whatever it would be without commercials, and then move on with my life. Now, if I wanted to get my wife, for example, into wrestling, and she's not into wrestling, and I said, you got to watch Raw with me, it's 3 hours. There's no way she is going to watch a show for 3 hours. The idea that you're going to hook new casual fans to a show that is 3 hours long every Monday night, head-to-head with football, it's crazy. Plus, if you really want to follow it and watch SmackDown, you got to devote 5 hours a week. This is something that only very hardcore fans of a sport or television show are going to devote their time to, 5 hours a week. Show is just too long.
And it's not the majority or anything like that, but I bet you the ones that just watch this week in WWE and maybe NXT and the pay-per-views when they happen or the special events when they happen, they're not chomping at the bit to tell WWE this. They're just quietly doing this. And when the hardcores are quietly doing that and fans are quietly turning away the casual general fan because there's, again, it's for all the reasons that we talk about every single week on this show, you know, not the least of which is you have no stars. You know, it, again, the whole it's not good. And NXT on Thursday was a great example of what they can do. WWE is so great at so many things with production and just all of the things that they are really good at. When they, it's frustrating when they are either lazy or incompetent or whatever the reasons are. Too many politics, too many cooks, you know, too many writers, whatever it is. Vince's stubbornness, all of these reasons. It's not making for an exciting product. It is way too long. And how can you get anybody invested? The casuals are not, and the hardcores are starting to, you know, fall away a little bit too.
All right, to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
What's up, Ryan?
I have a very cool idea for tomorrow night's Observer show.
All right.
Okay, tomorrow night, Hulk Hogan's Micro Midget Wrestling is coming to Martinsburg, West Virginia, which isn't too far from where Mike Sempervivi is, I believe, a few hours.
I've had situations in Martinsburg, but go ahead.
Appearing at the show will be Santa Claus, Renee Michelle with a special guest referee, and the mentally challenged wrestler, Bobby the Brain. And I think it would be a good idea to get Mike down there to interview all the midgets and all the special guests that will be appearing at the show, because I think it would be a highly informative and entertaining show if done so.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. What do you think, Mike?
I'd love to interview Renee Michelle. I'll take what else goes on with that as well.
All right. We'll talk more about this after the break. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And am I the only one who nearly shed a tear when Sami Zayn won the title from Adrian Neville in the main event of that NXT show? I didn't, of course, because I'm a manly man, but it was a very exceptionally great moment. I think mostly because the fans were so into that match, and when he won, they lost their minds. They went crazy. They did the big celebration. They had the confetti. Everybody lifted him up on their shoulders. Fans are jumping up and down. When is the last time, outside like WrestleMania of all things, we saw fans acting like that for the finish of a wrestling match? I can't even remember. Granted, I have a terrible memory, but I can't remember.
It's been a while, and, you know, especially when you take something like a WrestleMania out of the mix. My wife almost cried. I thought she was going to cry. Then she got very offended when Kevin Steen, who is now known as Kevin Owens, attacked his former friend and laid him out. So that did the job it needed to do, especially because of how long that went. At first, it's like, okay, this is going on for so long, there's going to be some sort of attack. But then they just kind of kept going with it, and I think the average fan kind of fell out of thinking about somebody coming back and attacking him. They've gone on with the celebration for so long, and then to have it happen that way, it was about as perfect as it could get, and I don't know what Pat Patterson was doing there. Maybe just giving
a Montreal guy. Supporting Montreal, yeah.
Fabulous French Canadians, but if he had anything to do with that finish, thank you, or whoever did.
Listen.
Because it really came off great.
Let me say this. If this were Impact, I don't like to always bury Impact, especially since they're not even on the air right now, but you know that if this were Impact, Sami Zayn would have got his big title win after God knows how long, and Kevin Owens would have immediately attacked him.
And won the title, probably.
Virtually guaranteed. I would bet good money on this happening, because that's how they do things. Everything is so rushed. Sami Zayn won the title, and they gave you, it seemed like, 10 full minutes to celebrate with the guy, to revel in it, to make it seem like a big deal. Because that's what you have to do in wrestling. When something happens that is supposed to be a big deal, you've got to make it seem like a big deal. They gave it so long, they even flashed the graphic up on the screen, the NXT graphic that they always show right before they go off the air. I knew, because my power went out for crying out loud, I knew that Kevin Owens was attacking this guy after the match. But they went for so long, and they put the graphic on the screen that I actually, even though I knew, I thought they were going off the air without it happening. I thought maybe they edited the replay or something and they're going to show the beating on the next television show or something. That's how convinced I was that nothing was going to happen. And then something did. And they continued with the storyline. They set up the next feud. Well, actually, the next feud is going to be Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Adrian Neville in a three-way. And then they'll go to the Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn singles feud. But they gave it time before they had Kevin Owens run in. I thought it was great.
And we're going to get that long, you know, good build towards Owens and Zayn too. You know, I don't know if they're, I guess they're going to go with that three-way idea. Maybe they don't. I don't know the results of the TV that was taped that's going to take them through. But we're, you know, the very first NXT special was the end of February last year, or this past year. And late February, early March, you know, to have that match and to build to that, it's going to be even better. Even if they go with the three-way idea first, to build to that next special is again, they give it time. And there's, you know, there's a lot of people, this is new to them, seeing a TV show booked this way and a wrestling show booked this way. You know, Ohio Valley did. There's, you know, other places that did, you know, more recently. But this is, you know, again, a classic. This has been a pretty much a classic TV show that's done most things right. It's not a home run every week. It's not going to be, but they do a really good job putting people on base. And when it comes time to deliver these big shows, you can have the confidence that, you know, the end result's going to be worth it.
All right, let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Dave from Wisconsin.
What's up, Dave?
I just had a question about Nate Diaz.
Okay, this, I don't know if anyone in the world can answer this question, but go for it.
Okay, well, I know. It's a little hard, and it might verge on kind of crazy, but just since Nick Diaz has been complaining about his contract basically for the last year and the fact that he missed weight yesterday, I'm starting to think that he's trying to get fired, so I suspect he's going to fail his drug test after tonight's fight, and then he's going to try and jump over to Bellator. I'm just wondering, what do you think the possibility of all this is to happen?
Well,
pretty good, although I don't know if he necessarily is intending on getting fired other than he's just going to do what he's going to do. You know, the other big thing this week was missing the workout session, which was probably worse than anything.
Well, Occam's razor to me, what is the most likely scenario here, the simplest solution to this problem? I think the guy's just an idiot. I don't think that he's purposely trying to get fired. I just think he's an idiot. And if he wanted,
well, he fights once a year.
Yeah, if he wanted to go to Bellator, I mean, he could find other ways to get fired. I mean, he was at a contract impasse. He wasn't even fighting. I mean, there are other ways to get out of your UFC deal besides just being an idiot and being fired. I mean, missing weight, he's missing out. I mean, think about this. He's missing out on 20% of his purse. If he fails his test, he's missing out on even more. He'll have no chance for a bonus. I mean, this is a, on a level of stupidity, this is very high to try to get fired in this way.
Ranked. The other thing in this too, he doesn't go back to being ranked because he probably missed weight and he was pulled out of the rankings because of inactivity. And he's complaining about the sponsors that you really only get a payout on if you're going to be ranked.
The more likely scenario is he's just a numbskull.
Right. Well, maybe I was just trying to think like an idiot.
Well, look, I mean, the end result could definitely be that he ends up in Bellator. It can very easily be that way. And I don't think he'll intentionally do it. But if he felt like, you know, smoking at any point this week, he was going to smoke no matter what. So in the end result of all of this could end up being the same.
I mean, think about this. This guy was unhappy with how much money he was making. And so because he thought he should be paid like Floyd Mayweather or somebody, he decided, I'm just not going to fight until I make more money. And so he was so unhappy about not making any money and living in poverty, as he said, that he proceeded to live in poverty because he was making $0 not fighting. So finally, he agreed to come back to UFC under the terms of his old deal that he had been complaining about. So he's already coming back at the same amount of money that he said was causing him to live in poverty. He then proceeds to miss weight, so he's getting a 20% cut. And God only knows what'll happen tonight. If your theory is correct, he's losing out on even more. This is not a wildly intelligent fella. Hopefully he's not listening right now. He'll want to destroy me, but it's just a fact. Don't miss weight by 5 pounds.
Well, here's the thing, though. Well, again, he's probably got his medical card. But you live at least in a state where if he's going to come to attack you, you can go to the local dispensary and buy him a nice gift, some sort of green fruit basket.
Sure. Anything else, Dave?
It's just another follow-up, because I've heard this about Nate Diaz's contract. Is he still fighting on his Ultimate Fighter 5 contract or not?
Well, I think when you get brought up to the main roster, they renegotiate your deal, so I don't think he's making...
Okay, because I'd read that somewhere, but it wasn't like necessarily a credible source. I just wanted to follow up
on that. You can go find out the last show that he fought on, and then Google that along with payouts, and you'll find out what his base pay is. And I would guess it's more than 16 and 16, but I don't know.
God, yeah, he would to me have a valid complaint if that was the case. If he was still fighting off of the contract,
I would be very surprised. You can probably check it out during the break. By the way, everybody, after the break, Nigel McGuinness is going to be on the show today. We're going to talk about the Ring of Honor pay per view briefly. Plus, he's got a brand new project that he's going to talk about, which will officially be launching on Monday. You are going to get a sneak preview on this program here. What did you think of the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, Mike?
I thought that building was cool. I like the Terminal 5 building. It was an interesting look. I didn't even mind the blue light. The lighting was so awkward and came across rough. I ordered it online, so I had some problems because it's a Ring of Honor pay-per-view. It's just tradition now at this point. But, you know, the main event, obviously what was, you know, supposed to deliver, absolutely delivered and capped off with Adam Cole and Jay Briscoe, which was awesome. I like the building. I don't know how expensive it is to run. I don't know if it fits them, but I think I thought it ended up coming across really good. And I thought the whole show came across really good. From even Moose and R.D. Evans and what they were trying to get across there, I really was a fan of the whole thing.
Also this week, we had the Slammies. I don't really want to waste too much time talking about them, but it is so crazy to compare that Slammy award-winning Raw to that NXT show. It is night and day. The big news coming out of the Slammies is the Slammies, traditionally, one of the most watched shows for WWE during football season, not this year. This year, the Slammies were the second least watched show during football season. And Mike, as our resident football expert, at least more so than myself, was there a big game on Monday, or do people just not want to watch the Slammies?
A little of it was people didn't want to watch the Slammies, but with that said, the Falcons-Packers game was not good at the start. The Packers were dominating for most of it, completely dominated the first half, but as Raw was starting to come to its climax there, the Falcons were actually coming back and had a very exciting second half and ended up, I'm sure there's people that flipped over because they kept scoring and it ended up being exciting towards the end, and Julio Jones was having a huge game, and there was far more compelling programming on there than there was on Raw.
All right, everybody, back in a moment with Nigel McGuinness, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And very happy today to be joined by Nigel McGuinness, Ring of Honor. He's got a brand new project that he's working on as well that we are going to reveal to you today, only for listeners of this program today. The official launch is Monday. So if you're listening to this anywhere in the world, you're getting a sneak peek. Nigel, how you doing today?
Very well, thank you. It's a beautiful day in sunny Los Angeles, California. Excited about the project. And life is good, mate. Life is good. How are you guys?
Very good. Now, before we get started, I just want to ask you a little bit about the Ring of Honor show from this past Sunday. It was Final Battle live on pay-per-view. We plugged it hard last week. I think we've had Ring of Honor guests on the show every single weekend since we kicked off the Saturday show here. And you are the latest in line. What did you think of Sunday's pay-per-view?
Oh, it's awesome, mate. You know, it's almost, it's like a day off for me. Sometimes I feel sort of like that old sort of grandfather that shows up and, you know, you kind of there out of sympathy because, you know, the guys go out there and bust their ass and, you know, it's just, I feel so proud of them going out there and carrying on the work that everybody did to get the company where it was as well. You know, we gave Kerry Silkin a Lifetime Achievement Award before as well. So that was really nice that, you know, he got some sort of recognition for all the hard work and all the support he'd given the company throughout the years. But, yeah, bell to bell, fantastic stuff as always, you know.
In a brand new building too. How was that in Terminal 5, a new building for you guys? Had wrestling been there before, to your knowledge, and how do you think the whole venue turned out?
Yeah, as far as I know, I don't believe they'd run wrestling there before. I mean, it was different, and there was a couple of teething problems, but I think everybody pulled through together, and it had more of that sort of, what's that club in New York in the 80s that Paul Heyman was a part of? Was
Studio 54?
Yeah, something like that. It had that more sort of that club sort of feel to it, as opposed to the huge sort of venue from the Manhattan Center. So, you know, it had its pros and its cons, and I think everybody enjoyed it. You know, I watched the last second half of the show from up in the rafters, and it was fantastic atmosphere.
One other Ring of Honor question before we go to LA Fights. Last night at the PWG show, I guess Adam Cole made the big announcement that because of the match at Final Battle, he claimed he had suffered a shoulder injury during that match, and he is going to be out of action for a while. I don't think he specified how long he's going to be out of action. Do you have any idea how long he's going to be out?
No, not really. I had heard that he had an injury, but you know, as you know, in the wrestling industry, you never know how much of that is hyperbole or whatever else, but... So I don't have specific details. You're obviously asking yourself. The good thing about him is he's young and he's healthy. And it's also a smart thing that he's taking the time off now. I mean, if you look at my career, a number of times I probably should have taken more time off than I actually did. I think when you're young, you have that notion, oh my God, if I take time off, I'll sort of like lose the opportunities that I have. But they're always going to be there as long as you're still reasonably young, fit, and healthy. So I shouldn't think it'll be too long before he's back, but we'll have to wait and see.
You are working on a new project, which is going to officially kick off on Monday through Kickstarter. But for all of you listening to Wrestling Observer Live today, you're going to get a sneak peek here. You can find this on Kickstarter by searching for LA Fights. It is a new concept that you have. It is a 6-episode series that you've already fully written, and you're looking for $370,000, which sounds like a lot of money, but as you note here, your average cost for one show in LA is about $400,000. So you're looking to do 6 episodes for less than the cost of one regular episode. And I don't know how much you want to talk about the concept, but it does appear to be a pro wrestling television show. In the vein of, I guess, it's kind of a mockumentary. It's kind of a... Actually, let's let you explain this.
Yeah, it's a 6-episode series, as you say, completely evolving the pro wrestling genre. In fact, it's such an evolution that really people could arguably look at it and say it's not really necessarily pro wrestling anymore. But I think if you look at a lot of evolutions of pro wrestling over the years, you could say the same thing, you know. The in-ring style has evolved to be closer towards MMA, but still remain true to its pro wrestling roots. Storylines are more sort of shades of gray, less black and white characters. You know, you'll have characters that you like that sometimes disappoint you, and you'll have characters that you despise that sometimes surprise you, just so you don't know where the storylines are going. And I think that's the other revolution, is that this is a 6-episode series. It's a seasonal structure, and that allows you to do things that you can't do 52 weeks a year. Because this isn't like competition at WWE or anything else. This is like just a new, different, evolved product to show what is possible within the genre. You know, I mean, I've heard for like 10 years now, people behind the scenes or fans talking about what they don't like about the mainstream product, but I've never really heard a clear and concise idea of exactly how to change things to sort of bring it up to speed and catch up with shows like Breaking Bad or The Office or whatever it is that people are raving about online on social media. And so that's really what I've done over the last year. I've been doing jiu-jitsu for like 16 months now, and I've taken a lot of what I've learned from that and adapted the style in that direction. You know, it's difficult because if you watch any of that old UWFI stuff back from the 90s, it is very realistic and it's gritty, but in and of itself, it's not enough. And you could take some great storylines and have pro wrestling sort of 101, and again, it's still not enough. It has to evolve in every way completely. So when people watch this, like ECW in the 1990s, people go, wow, that is different. Got to see more of that. And that's what we're aiming for, you know. I didn't want to just come out and you know, start a new promotion, it's going to take over the world. It's not about that. It's about showing what is possible. And I put everything into it, you know. Everyone I've told about it has loved the idea, got behind it. As you said, I did the soft launch yesterday afternoon. So the project's live, but I haven't talked about it anywhere else on social media or anything else. I'm saving it until Monday. So if you go to LAFights.com, you'll get a sneak peek of it. You can see, you can back. But then Monday is the day to start plugging and pushing it and just seeing who gets behind the idea, you know, and that's the reality. People want to see a new product, a categorically different product that evolves pro wrestling and sort of can put it on that same sort of level as those shows like, you know, Game of Thrones or Sons of Anarchy or whatever it is. This is an opportunity to do it. So I just hope people believe in the product as much as I do. And already, you know, we've had more than $1,000 and I've even mentioned it to anybody. So, you know, it could be huge. It could be a really important thing within the genre. I'm really excited about it.
Now, where have you been training jiu-jitsu for the last year and a half?
I've been at Alberto Crane's Gracie Baja place in Burbank. It's just up the road from me here. I live in Studio City. I've been going there, like I said, about 16 months, and it's great, you know. I mean, Professor Crane is awesome, and he's got a great bunch of guys there. It's great, great attitude. I'm up to 4 stripes on my white belt now, so I still get murdered by 60-year-olds and everything like that.
But
I think it's funny, actually, because I don't know what your experience is, but for me, because coming from a pro wrestling genre where you're taught just to relax and, okay, let people, you know, get out of holds and get holds on you, it goes completely against what they're trying to tell you. And they keep telling me, hey, don't let them get out of this. And it's just second nature to me, you know. And so it's kind of, I see this is why this is the direction I'm going with this project, because I just feel like everything's come together. My history in pro wrestling over the last, 12, 15 years, learning sort of the style, learning how that works, learning the sort of the underlying way of telling a story within a match and storylines as well, but now to evolve it, given what the world sees with MMA. I mean, people's perception of what a real professional fight now has changed categorically. I mean, in the 80s, you could look at Mr. T and say he's the toughest man in the world because you didn't really know the difference. I mean, you know, you knew what boxing was, but you couldn't really see professional fights. But now, you know, I guess as you've seen with like Kimbo Slice, I mean, people can have that aura for a while, but eventually now they have to sort of stand up for it. So I think people have a different notion of what's real, and that's what it's always been about with pro wrestling, not convincing people that it is real, but just allowing them to suspend their disbelief that it's not.
So very funny you mentioned that, because it took me years to not go along with what somebody was trying to do with me. It's an exact pro wrestling mentality. It was very hard to break that. You know, this guy wants to grab my arm. Don't let him grab your arm. Don't just give him the arm. And yeah, it's funny because at the beginning, you have to have the mindset of, I got to go with this guy. I got to go hard. I got to prevent him from doing what he's trying to do, which is against what you've learned in wrestling. But then as you get higher up in the belt ranks, then you start actually expending significantly less energy. I'm sure you've discovered that as well when you go up against the higher belt ranks. You feel like you're going as hard as you can, you're sweating like crazy, and they're very relaxed, and they're killing you. And it's a fascinating journey.
Yeah. I was in there with a black belt earlier this week. I did a no-gi class with Professor Matthew up there. And he'd let me grab him and throw him around and get his back. And so to a certain extent, it's kind of like that with him, because he goes, all right, I'll give up my back and then I can just get out of it, you know. And so it becomes a game of chess, much like Gordon Sola used to say. And again, that inspired me to go, you know what, we can use a lot of this in pro wrestling as well. There's no reason why you can't, you know, go from a single leg takedown and into side control and then getting a full guard back and then into in a triangle. It's all possible, but you just got to present it in the right way, which is digestible to the pro wrestling demographic. And that's what I think we're going to try and do.
So have you talked to a number of people who you feel have done enough training in mixed martial arts or jiu-jitsu that they could effectively do this new style? Or is what you're envisioning something that, even if you haven't trained, you could take somebody for a weekend or two, and because they're pro wrestlers and they're used to learning different spots, they could probably pick this up pretty quickly?
It's kind of halfway between the two. The whole point of doing this, because people have said, you know what, why don't you just use actors, why don't you just use MMA fighters, then it becomes a different show. It doesn't become an Evolution of Pro Wrestling, which is what I want to do. I want to show what is possible within the genre. So I want to use pro wrestlers. I want to do a show where pro wrestlers make money and look good and can be held in high esteem. And so being that the case, there are plenty of guys out there that can work that sort of work shoot, I think, is a cliche, but, you know, a more realistic style. But at the same time, what I want to do is I want to use guys who have backstories. My belief is that you don't need to make someone into a character. You don't need to make someone a dentist or a doctor or whatever else, or say, oh, you slept with my girlfriend, or all these sort of arguably sophomoric storylines. People have storylines already, because we all know within the industry there are concussion issues, there's drug abuse issues, there's sexuality issues, ambition, family, all these things that everybody has and deals with in an everyday sort of basis, excuse me. So all you do is you let people play themselves within the scripted environment, you know. And so to that end, the in-ring style, if people don't necessarily have the background, to me it really comes back to just go out there and make this look believable. Let people suspend their disbelief. I always remember before one of the Ring of Honor shows we did, WrestleMania weekend, a couple of years ago, it was Shelton Benjamin and Michael Elgin, and they got in the ring before the show. And all they were trying to do was Michael Elgin was trying to take Shelton Benjamin off his feet. And every single person in the arena, every single person was staring at that ring, couldn't take their eyes off it. Now, if they'd been in there practicing spots or running through stuff, no one would have batted an eyelid. But because they thought, wow, this is real, I really want to see what happens here, they were paying attention. And so that's my theory, is that if people care about the characters and they care about the outcome, then they will pay attention. Because I can do some war with somebody and it's going to be boring, but if you know that whoever loses some war is going to get shot, now you're going to watch me play some war. That's kind of my theory.
Well, Nigel, we got to head to the break here, but I want to thank you so much for this preview here today. Everybody, LAFights.com is the place to go. You can go to Kickstarter and type in LA Fights as well. And Nigel, I'm going to hold you over the break. We'll do one final plug when we come back. Stand by, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi as well as Nigel McGuinness. And Nigel, before we wrap it up here today, we've plugged LA Fights, LAFights.com. I want to give you a chance to get some social media information out there. And remember, everybody, this launches officially on Monday, but you have a sneak preview today. You can go up and check it out right now. Nigel, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Yeah, NigelWrestling.com, LAFights.com will take you to the Kickstarter page so you can check it out. And as Brian said, Monday is the day. So take a look. If you like it, back it, fantastic. If you want to get behind it, Monday is the day. Hold off on social media and then try and blitz it Monday. And let's see if we can get everybody talking about this and get behind this project, because, as I said, I really believe this could be a big thing. And obviously still, please support ROHWrestling.com. We've got a great show in Nashville January 3rd as well. Always going to blow the roof off the place. So keep supporting, and let's get this thing to the next stage.
Nigel, I want to thank you so much for doing the show today, and best of luck. You can check it out, everybody. Nigel McGuinness's new project, LAFights.com, Kickstarter.com. Search LA Fights. It's all up there right now, so check it out. Thanks again, Nigel. Thanks, Mike. Everybody at Sports Byline USA. We're back tomorrow live at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. So check it out, and we'll talk to you again after a while. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.